Maybe Buster's got better hearing. In all the times Buster's been on the show, has he ever said, "Beg your pardon"? I'm sorry, Matthew. Can you repeat that? No.
No,
he the man
has.
Hears well.
You're in the 06010 Focus.
A jam-packed show on this fine Wednesday morning, Matthew Berry.
Dude, there's a lot.
There really is. We've
it's
got
insanity.
Listen, we've got aces throwing gems. We've got former aces throwing gems. We've got a bunch of weird, random names getting saves.
The closer carousel has never been spinning more than it is this morning.
We've got the most prolific closer of all time not getting saves in spectacular fashion.
He was so brutal, I'm amazed he's not on my team.
We are going to display our Rocky Mountain bias on this show because there's Colorado Rockies news to discuss, Matthew.
Yeah, that's right.
Minor leaguers.
Yeah.
Guys that have no business getting 4 strikeouts in a game, getting 10 in a game.
It's insanity, Nate.
Ace is going on the DL. I mean, it's crazy.
It's crazy. It's very frustrating, and I'll tell you why.
All right.
With all this news that we have to address, there's very little time for nonsense.
Yeah.
And to be honest, that's what we do best.
It really is. It really is, Matthew. But we're
going to have to do actual analysis today.
Well, let's see how that goes.
I'm on a total downer right now.
But Pod Vader didn't even believe. Like I was looking at him, and I was like, no, seriously, like, that's it. Like, we really have to talk about baseball here.
What?
Yeah, I know.
It's not what we do here.
Listen.
We can't even get into the poker game last night that you, me, and Pod played with a number of the fantasy staff.
We did have an email about it.
Oh, okay.
Steven says, "Go Slugs. I'm curious if Pod, stoked to be finally included in a social outing not involving karaoke, cleaned up the card game." Pod Vader did win the card game, Matthew.
Stop it.
I took all the pretzels.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Really? Wow.
And even worse, he's already told Queen Podmadala about it. I don't know why he didn't just pocket the winnings.
Yeah. Why do you want to share those pretzels with the queen? That's right, because the queen runs the household. That's right.
Well, the pretzels are going to the dump on Saturday with a deck that's got to be thrown out.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying
He tore down his deck recently.
Oh, got it.
By the way, where is that Chris Walken email?
Oh, it's way under there now.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to put it in. Oh, I got it. Well, there. I'll set that aside. We'll get to that. Baseball, Matthew.
All right.
Where do you want to start?
Let's see. Well,
I think we should start with Trevor Hoffman.
If you want to. I pulled him up. His ERA, 13.50.
That equates to 14 hits and 12 earned runs in 8 innings, Matthew. He's given up 5 home runs already.
It's been brutal. Like I said, it's amazing that he's been so bad, it's amazing I don't own him on any teams.
I mean,
8 leagues I managed to avoid Trevor Hoffman in.
I would say that there are no more than 6 closers in the majors that could start the season this bad and still have the job. Rivera, Papelbon, Broxton, K-Rod, probably, like, not very many.
No, I completely agree with you. Most teams would have dealt him by now. Had basically pulled him out of the role.
On the flip side.
Or at least would have invented some BS kind of injury. Yeah. Oh, he's got an oblique strain.
Yeah.
He needs to go on the DL.
He needs to see the cryotomologist.
Exactly.
Exactly. And then we were just, Matthew, if you go to the fantasy baseball pages on ESPN.com, right there in the navigation, it says closer chart.
It does indeed.
And Tristan Cockcroft keeps this up to date. And here's the problem. Next in line, according to the chart, and also the way they've been using him this year, LaTroy Hawkins.
Sweet, sweet LaTroy Hawkins. And
his 8.64 ERA this year.
Yeah. Well,
he's managed to blow two saves himself without even being a closer.
Right, but he's got a 1.56 whip. So, you know, there's something.
So Coffey has pitched reasonably well.
Right.
And Carlos Villanueva has pitched extraordinarily well.
Right.
If you were in, say, a deep mixed league and had Hoffman, Matthew, and you wanted to burn a bench spot on, you know, trying to get one of the guys, who would you get?
A great question.
I'm faced with this very dilemma, by the way.
I sad to say, but I think it's LaTroy Hawkins. I think the next save chance that isn't Trevor Hoffman goes to LaTroy Hawkins.
I think LaTroy Hawkins may be the next guy to blow a save, because, you know, you get a seventh inning blown save, whatever, but.
Villanueva is probably the safest guy, but Coffey's the, quote, safest guy with most upside. Meaning, you know, like if Coffey doesn't get the closer role, I don't think he'll kill you.
Right.
Just in a middle relief, middle relief role. I do think, my guess is because, again, LaTroy Hawkins has also closed before.
Right.
I mean, Coffey, you know, has had it for a nanosecond here and there.
Right.
But my guess is that if they take out Hoffman of the closer role.
Yeah.
That Hawkins would be named the quote de facto.
I just don't think you take Hoffman out to put in another guy that's pitching terribly. If you want a guy that's pitching terribly, you might as well leave the guy with more saves than anybody else.
Right. Mike, I will say this too. I will say, you know, to your point, the next save chance goes to Trevor Hoffman. And that's what I believe.
But if he blows another one here in a row, they're going to have to do something.
Right.
Put him on the DL or who knows what.
Right. But, I mean, it's definitely, put it this way. If you own Trevor Hoffman, you can go ahead and feel free to hit the panic button.
Yeah, I would agree. Matthew, in two former Twins lefties, one former Twin lefty and one current Twin lefty yesterday. Francisco Liriano, 8 scoreless innings, 10 strikeouts, now is a 0.93 ERA.
Yeah, baby!
Johan Santana, 6 scoreless innings, 6 strikeouts, now is a 2.08 ERA. If you could have one of the two for the rest of the season, who would it be?
Dude, you know how high I was on Liriano at the beginning of the season.
I know, but you didn't have him top 10, you didn't have him top 20.
I'd still say Liriano.
Okay.
Believe it or not, I think he's going to strike more guys out.
Okay.
And I think it's a better team. I think he's got a better chance at wins.
I think the likelihood is I'm wrong on Liriano, but I still can't put him ahead of Santana yet. I still think there's enough, you know.
Well, the thing, you know, ESPN Stats and Research, our crack team over there, they put out a nightly little thing.
Right.
One of the, just sort of
crack,
like,
referring to like their effort, not any
sharp,
not any like, you know,
illegal
off the
use.
Field activities.
Right. No. They,
I don't want anybody to think we got Whitney Houston working back there.
No, although I hear at least two of them have lovely singing voices.
Oh, okay.
Nate, what they did is, so they, you know, one of the things they put about, you know, why Liriano won. And so one of the things they put out, Liriano is throwing his slider for strikes at, over, and I want to make sure I get this right, so I should look at the email. But basically, he's throwing the slider a lot, and he's also throwing the slider for strikes at a rate very similar to what he was throwing pre-Tommy John surgery.
Okay.
That's the impressive thing, is that he's actually, last night he threw it for strikes 40% of the time, something like that, but that's the most important thing, is that the underlying numbers all suggest that he's back to his pre-Tommy John's. I mean, you look at the ERA under one, and you're like, duh.
Right.
But the thing is like, this isn't, you know, smoke and mirrors or anything like that. Right. I mean, he's basically back to being the same pitcher he was prior to Tommy John.
You know,
John.
And since I think the first outing when he had a bunch of walks, that very first outing he had 5 walks, only 5 walks since then in 3 starts, covering 23 innings. So that's what I was concerned about. For the moment, anyway, he's got that under control.
Right. I mean, the problem last year was he couldn't throw the slider.
Yeah.
You know, that he was adjusting the slider. Now it's back to being that crazy, nasty pitch that no one can hit.
Now, I will say, the last 3 starts, Boston, Cleveland, Detroit, not exactly, you know.
But listen, I mean, Boston and Detroit are decent teams. They're not great teams.
They're decent teams. They're not good offenses.
Right.
So, and particularly,
okay,
and particularly who was in the lineup for Boston on that particular day. But anyway, he's looking good. He's looking really good. Looking better than Brett Anderson, Matthew, who goes on the DL yesterday, and this is not going to be a short-term thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I got some, and I hadn't had a chance to check this out, so I apologize. Buster only reporting 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
He's hearing a flexor strain.
Okay.
But I tweeted that. I mean, Buster tweeted that.
Right.
And I retweeted Buster.
Right.
Because, you know, in Buster I trust.
Okay.
I got some people on Twitter that came back at me that said, like, Susan Slusser is saying she has not heard that. This is the Oakland A's beat reporter, very well respected.
All due respect. She's saying she has not heard that, or she's saying she's heard the opposite? There's a big difference.
She's saying she has not heard that. So,
well,
right.
Who cares?
So, right. Well, you'd think she would.
I put my faith in Buster.
I do too. But just so you know, there are somewhat conflicting reports.
If another, another fine journalist had heard, no, that's not true, and then we go back to Buster, we say, okay, what do you think? What are your sources? You know what I mean? But, like, if just she just hasn't heard it, who cares?
Right.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe Buster's got better hearing. In all the times Buster's been on the show, has he ever said, beg your pardon? I'm sorry, Matthew. Can you repeat that? No.
No, he
never has. The man hears well, Matthew. So for the time being, let's assume 4 to 6 weeks, all right?
I would definitely assume that one.
All right. There you go. Matthew, we don't know who they're going to call up to replace him. Vin Mazzario and Trevor Cahill seem like the most likely candidates. John Garland yesterday, Matthew.
All right.
6 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 10 strikeouts, 3 walks yesterday. 10 strikeouts.
I know. I saw that. I'm like, what? What?
You know how you?
I will say this.
Okay.
For whatever it's worth. That traditionally, and maybe we should look it up for right now because I was looking at all the closer stuff. But so I don't know if it's held true so far this year.
Okay.
To an extent, but I will tell you that traditionally, the Marlins, which is who John Garland faced yesterday, are usually one of the higher strikeout teams.
Well, I mean, you don't have to look it up. They still have Dan Uggla. They still have Hanley Ramirez.
Right.
So they are.
And Cameron Maybin is no huge contact guy either.
Nor is Jorge Cantu. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So that would be my guess is that if they don't lead the league, here, I'm going to look it up right now.
They're pretty high.
Yeah.
Matthew, you know how you were telling me yesterday that you sat Josh Beckett in week 1 in Tout Wars because the way it worked, you had the opportunity to set your lineup on Monday.
Correct.
And he got blown up on Sunday. So in my NL Keeper League, I had John Garland as a keeper for $5, right, and I kept him. However, our draft was after the start of the season. It was that Friday night. You know, we draft the first Friday after the start of the season,
right,
like a lot of traditional leagues do. He got blown up in his first start. And we have a rule that says, on the night of the auction, you can throw back any keeper for any reason. So I threw him back rather than get saddled with that start.
7 runs in one inning or whatever.
Basically,
it was.
I threw him back, and then I'm like, you know what? Maybe if I get him for $1 or $2, that's fine. Oh. But I don't really want so. Oh. So P.S. He's got like a 2.4 ERA. Like that first start really has been entirely neutralized after just 4 starts.
Did you get him back?
I did not get it back.
Oh, that's interesting. So, by the way, Arizona
went for like 5, and I didn't want him.
Yeah, of course. Arizona, by the way, leads the National League in strikeouts. Florida 4 behind. So,
yeah.
I will say this: I'm not obviously you don't buy the strikeouts for John Garland.
No,
but do you buy the turnaround a little bit? You know, listen, Petco pitcher.
I buy the turnaround entirely because he pitched well for the Dodgers last year, and I thought in the National League in a pitcher's park. For a guy with, you know, not great stuff, fly ball pitcher, I thought he'd do okay. In a 10-team mixed league, you know, he's a spot starter at best.
At best, right. But in an NL-only league,
He's going to be owned in NL-only. But, you know, 12-team mixed, I could see him being more like a stream starter, you know? The problem is even like a 2-start week, you're looking at, in most circumstances, like, you know, 7 strikeouts.
Right.
Matthew, Nelson Cruz, our beloved Nelson Cruz, to the DL hamstring injury.
Not good.
They call up Craig Gentry, who started in center field, yesterday.
He is fast.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. I want to say, again, off the top of my head, 50 steals last year,
40-something
steals in AAA last year.
I was not aware of that, man.
He is fast.
It should be a short-term injury for Cruz, and you're not even sure that Gentry plays every day.
Right.
You know, yesterday they had Josh Hamilton left, David Murphy in right, with Bourbon on the bench. So, you know,
I think it's against the lefty, by the way. Right. I think it's deep AL only if you need a little bit of speed, but that's it. I wouldn't get all excited just yet. But yeah, he is Fasty Fasterson.
The Rangers also sent Taylor Teagarden down, Matthew, and activated Jared Saltamaki long enough to send him down.
Right.
Called up Max Ramirez. So,
right, but Matt Traynor is going to get more of a shot. That's, I mean, and played well last night.
I mean, I don't like any of the catchers.
No, I don't either.
But I think some people are going to be like, ooh, Max Ramirez. And I know Eric Carabel even blogged a couple weeks ago about, like, hey, why don't we give Ramirez a shot? Wasn't hitting in the minors. Wasn't really a top prospect. So I wouldn't get excited about that. Let's jump on the closer carousel, Matthew.
If you would like to. Just, hey, like, point out Pat Burrell, another home run.
Okay.
Last night.
Frank Francisco with a save yesterday, Matthew. What do you think of this one? This is the one that might be something more than just, a footnote. Because of Neftali Feliz has been struggling, and they had said they didn't really want it to be a full-time move. So what are your thoughts here? Who gets the next save for the Rangers?
Frank Francisco.
Because Francisco's available in 35% of ESPN.com leagues.
I picked him back up in a league that I had dropped him in.
Okay.
In a 10-team mix, yeah.
All right.
That's who I think does.
Feliz had pitched 3 of the last 4 days, but he'd also not pitched very well.
That's correct.
In those games.
And that's not the role they want him in.
Right. Okay.
I mean, you're asking me, I say Frank Francisco, especially if scoreless ninth. Yeah, I think Frank Francisco gets the next save chance for the Texas Rangers.
I think you're right, Matthew. Ramon Ramirez gets the save for the Red Sox. Papelbon had pitched, I believe, 3 of the last 4 days here, and obviously... And so had Daniel Bard, actually. I looked both those guys up.
Right.
So, you know, the only thing there is you'd be like, oh, well, is Ramirez next in line? No, we don't think so. Right?
Correct.
Alfredo Simon gets the save for the Orioles.
Yep.
And I don't even think this is really interesting, Matthew, only that Camacolio was sent down. So, scratch Macolio off your list of possible Jim Johnson replacements.
Well, a couple things about this, right? I would not be surprised. I mean, the thing that's interesting to me about Alfredo Simon is a couple of things. Had just been called up. Now, he's 29 years old.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not like he's some, a flame-throwing guy.
I think he was a shortstop coming up originally as a prospect for, like, the Phillies.
All right.
I'm going to look that up.
He had 19 saves in the minors in 2005.
Okay.
I mean, he's sort of, he's been kind of, like... I think he got a cup of coffee in 08. So he's nothing like, unbelievably special, but he did have a scoreless night. I mean, there were 2 unearned runs, but
right.
He got the save, which is more than we can say. It's hard to say. I will say this, that Dave Tremblay said prior to the game, basically, that no one's his closer.
Right.
I'm going to go with a hot hand.
Okay.
And, and he proved it by literally the guy right off the bus.
Right.
Gets into the ninth inning.
Yep.
And shuts him down. I think the interesting thing is, and I've said this many times, Koji Uehara.
Yeah.
I think threw 12 of 16 pitches for strikes in a rehab appearance the other day. So Uehara to me is, I think that once Uehara is activated, if Gonzalez is not back,
yeah.
To me, Uehara is the guy that will get the next save chance. But if assuming he's still in the DL, I wouldn't be surprised if Alfredo Simon gets your next. Crazier things have happened. All that said, basically... I'm not blowing all my fab on Alfredo Simon.
I would agree with you. Jason Mott gets a save for the Cardinals, and it was actually like 1 2/3 innings in a one-run game. So they put their trust in him, and for a change in a tight situation there, he delivered. Now, Ryan Franklin's 7-for-7 this year, so I don't really think change is afoot. But it was nice to at least see Mott get the job done. He's had trouble in those high-pressure situations.
Yeah, there was no question. It was nice to see him get it done. And he's the clear Ryan Franklin handcuff.
I believe that's true. Let's get our Rocky Mountain bias on, Matthew.
Can we, I guess we can. I was going to say, can we get, the John Denver Rocky Mountain high? We
should probably not.
Drop, but we can't because it's a...
EY2, Matthew, Eric Young.
Mm-hmm.
Starts at second base, bats leadoff, 2-for-4, 2 runs, 2 RBIs. A couple of nice things about this. Now, he did have an error. Number one, Clint Barmas has been terrible.
Right.
Number two... I think the Rockies, and I believe Jim Tracy said this, like the idea of getting Carlos Gonzalez down into the meat of the order. He batted 5th last night and had a nice game. So, listen, in his first game yesterday, Young pinch hits and scores a run. Yesterday, his first game he stole a base, I think. Yesterday, pinch hit, scores a run, and now he gets to start at second base. And my guess is he gets to start at second base today, too.
I would completely agree with it. We talked about this.
So.
We talked about the struggles of Barmas. We talked about how Jim Tracy talked in the preseason that he thought,
But this is going very quickly from a guy that you watch to a guy that might become a must-add in all leagues. Could happen. That transition could happen in a matter of days, is what I'm saying. So,
completely agree.
Even in a 10-team mixed league right now, if you've got a easy spot, what's up, Pod Vader? He's giving himself the two thumbs.
No, I already picked up EY.
In the man's league?
I did.
Well, that should have been a no-brainer ad on Sunday night or Monday morning.
Oh, yeah.
But I think if you have a bench spot to burn, Matthew.
Right.
You know, like, listen, if you're in a 10-team mixed league and you've got Strasburg, I'm not cutting Strasburg for Eric Young. I'm not cutting.
Certainly not after yesterday.
But you know what? A lot of other, like, prospect type guys, like Logan Morrison, I'm trying to think of some of, you know, those guys I would cut for Eric Young.
Yes. Absolutely.
Eric Bedard? You'd have to think about it. Depends on your team needs.
I would agree with all that.
And Julius Chacin, Matthew, yesterday pitches the ninth inning. It was obviously an 11-run game. Scoreless inning, two strikeouts. He is tentatively scheduled to start Saturday, I believe, at San Francisco. It's either San Francisco or San Diego. But, you know, just it sort of cracks the door open a little bit because when their other guys come back, if Houston Street doesn't make it back, if Franklin Morales, you know, doesn't get the job done, you know, we've seen a lot of teams in recent years bring up their young starting pitcher prospect flamethrowers and put them in the bullpen. So just saying, there's a couple of different scenarios for Chacin this year.
I agree. So, I agree with that. But I think the plan now is to get him a start on Sunday.
Yes. Matthew, you mentioned Strasburg.
Yes.
5 no-hit innings yesterday.
Yeah.
So, you
know what that is?
What's that?
It's 5 innings where people faced him and could not get a hit.
Really?
That's what that means.
Really?
It's not easy to do.
Now, Matthew, he's nowhere close to 100% owned in ESPN Standard Leagues. Now, that you know, that's because only 3 bench spots, and if you've got a couple of star players in the DL, if you've got, you know, Jacoby Ellsbury and, you know.
I'm in one league where I've got, I've got Bedard. I'm in a keeper league.
Right.
So I've got Brandon Webb and Joe Nathan for a buck.
Right.
And I threw a buck on them. So I've got those two guys plus Bedard plus Cliff Lee and Houston Street. So I'm like, you know,
hey, Matthew.
Five DL guys.
What's up?
Could you talk into the microphone, Matthew? That'd be extremely helpful to the people listening to the podcast.
Wow.
First off, I disagree with you that it would be extremely helpful.
Why don't you just throw a cough drop in there while you're at it?
Right. I disagree that it would be extremely helpful. I think anyone who's listened to this podcast would know that listening to me can be
entertaining.
Yeah, entertaining at best. But sure, whatever, Podmater. If that floats your boat, happy to do that.
All right. So anyway, so here's the thing. If you've got a couple, you know, a standard ESPN league, 3 bench spots, 1 DL, if you've got a couple of guys in the DL, you can burn through that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So if Strasburg's out there in your league, Matthew, I'd like to play a little name game.
Well, now I've got a problem here because Little Black Dress Dave is having a rough week, apparently, wanted his name game drop played. But we got an email from Bookie Bob saying, where's the love? How come you no longer play my name game drop? Which one
so
do we play?
So we've got Little Black Dress Dave, he's in a mood, he's down?
Yeah, he's down. He needs a little pick-me-up.
I wonder if that means there's
Little Black Dress
little
Dave,
black dress.
Amanda.
What's her name, Amanda?
I think it was Amanda.
Whatever. Alice, Amanda. I'm gonna side with Little Black Dress Dave here.
Listen, and we gotta have our brothers back.
Listen, I mean, have you seen some of the results in baseball this year? Or in the NBA for that matter? I think the bookie's doing just fine.
Yeah.
Very well, Little Black Dress Dave today. Bookie Bob maybe tomorrow. We'll see.
Well, let's play the name game.
I would like to welcome everyone to Wandy Island.
Grimace, Ronald, Hamburglar, oh. Mayor McCheese, the Fries Guys, Goblins, the Bird, I don't remember, but you left out Captain Crook.
Not a great story, but luckily it was long.
Idiot boy over here to my right.
Listen, Neil Revitson.
Muppet name dropper.
What?
Dal Constantine.
I emailed him, and he emailed me back.
I can lick any man in this place.
I like the, I emailed him, and he emailed me back.
Yeah. That's a recent one. Why did that one fall out of the rotation there, Pod? I mean, because that's got Dow Constantine.
We got a lot.
No. That's Little Black Dress Dave. That didn't fall out of rotation.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Just been a while since I had played Little Black Dress Dave.
All right. He's Little Black Dress Dave, a little needy right now. all right, Matthew. I'm going to make this hard on you, all right? Okay. We don't know when Strasburg's going to come up yet still.
The only thing I know for sure is that will be after Aroldis Chapman.
Fair enough. So if you could decide right now, one pitcher for the rest of the year, Steven Strasburg or Brian Mattis?
Strasburg.
I agree with you. Steven Strasburg or Phil Hughes?
Only because we don't know when Strasburg's coming up, Phil Hughes.
Wow. I say Strasburg not close.
I think Hughes is going to get a lot of wins. And he's pitched very well. Pitched well last night. Didn't get the win, obviously, but pitched well last night.
Stevens?
I mean, the walks are a little concerning, but... Yeah.
Steven Strasburg or Ryan Dempster?
Strasburg. I've never been a Dempster guy.
I got to go with Dempster there. He's pretty good.
I know. He's one of those guys that I never have liked and continues to put up good numbers. He is. I don't have an issue with that one.
Okay.
But just personally, for me, I'm just not a Dempster
guy. Steven Strasburg or Clayton Kershaw?
Kershaw.
Yeah, but it's close, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's very good.
He's going to be,
he's going to be really good.
From the time Strasburg comes up to the remainder of the season, would you put him top 20 among starting pitchers?
Top 25.
I would put him top 20. I think he's going to be dominant.
He's going to be very, very
good. Out of the chute.
Very, very good.
Matthew, two more things for me. Austin Kearns, you buying?
I was just literally, look at what I was looking up while you were talking. So hilarious.
I don't think I'm allowed to even mention that website. That's not safe for work.
Yeah.
Well, oh, the other one.
The other one.
Oh, the other one.
The one that I minimized.
I gotcha.
Got it. Over on our player rater, obviously very small sample size, but over the last 7 days.
Right. Okay.
Okay. It's small sample size, but over the last 7 days, among outfielders, Ryan Braun, our number one player on the player rater.
That's not even a small, that's like small sample sizes.
It's a small sample size of a small sample size.
Yeah, exactly. The whole season's a small sample size right now.
Exactly.
You're now going to a sliver of the season.
But for whatever it's worth.
All right.
Michael Bourne, number two. Not surprised he's been red hot.
Yeah.
Number three, Austin Kearns. Over his last 7 games, hitting .435, 2 home runs, 9 RBIs in 6 games.
Yeah.
Buying a little bit. I'm buying a little bit. I don't know that he's a 10-team mixed league guy, but listen, they're playing him every day. He's a guy that needs to be owned if he isn't in AL only.
He definitely needs to be owned in AL only. I think he is.
I guess it's in most.
12-team mixed. I'm not ready. I'm not ready for 12-team mixed yet.
But he's definitely something to keep an eye on.
I would agree with that. Matthew, the Jimmy Rollins rule states that we must alert you that Justin Morneau left yesterday's game with a stiff back, and he's had back problems before.
He has. He has. This is a bit of a concern. Boy, I got to tell you, the Jimmy Rollins rule, again with Nelson Cruz, it keeps bailing us out.
Yeah.
Left and right.
But listen, let's not gloss over the Morneau thing because, like I said, again, he had issues last year, and if he goes to the DL, that could mean fairly significant playing time for Jim Thome.
Yes, it could.
All of a sudden.
Who, by the way, has, in very limited playing time this year, already has 2 home runs.
Yeah, and he was hitting last year before the trade. Like, this is not a guy that, like, fell off the cliff. He was hitting, last year with the White Sox, he was hitting .250. With 23 home runs in 345 at bat. This is a guy that's still a 30 home run guy.
Yes.
And
can kill your average, but whatever. 240, 250.
Yeah, 240, right, 250. Right. I don't think he's going to hit much worse than that.
Right.
He's still out there in a lot of leagues where he could be helpful.
Yes.
So, anything else for you?
No. Good God.
Lord. Rollins rule applying here to Rafael Furcal.
What's that?
Don't you guys have a board wager with him?
Rafael Furcal?
Yeah.
That he missed the second game of the doubleheader yesterday, and he's likely to miss Wednesday, too?
With a hamstring?
Jimmy Rollins' rule tends to apply to stars, right? Rafael Furcal, not quite a star.
I believe you guys were talking up Furcal just the other day. You guys were talking him up just the other day.
We just talked up Austin Kearns. It doesn't make him a star.
I think you have a board bet with Furcal saying he's
got a board bet about
We've got a board bet about
the Cabrera boys. They're not stars.
You got a board bet about American Idol for Lord.
Exactly.
All I'm saying is you're ignoring the Jimmy Rollins rule.
I'm not.
Heads up on Rafael Furcal.
Now we're gonna have to give heads up on every single player. Apparently,
I'm not That's saying not every single happen. Player.
And by the way, the Rockies demoted Chris Iannetta yesterday, Matthew. Preseason fantasy sleeper.
Miguel Olivo has been hitting.
Yeah.
Miguel Olivo has been hitting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would, especially...
As long as you're not in an on-base percentage league.
Yeah. He won't help your batting average, but...
Yeah.
I'd rather have him than, like, Yadi or Molina.
I'd rather have Yadi. I know he's got the home run so far this year, but I think Yadi's a 300 hitter and Olivo's a 250 hitter, so...
Again, it depends on what your team needs are.
Yeah, that's true.
I agree with it, but... Olivo has hit 23 home runs, as recently as a couple of years ago.
Last year. Last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year in Kansas City.
Right.
23
homers,
and 5
And 16 home runs, two straight years, like I think in 06 and 07. 07
yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. He's got power.
Time to bring this podcast to a screeching halt. It's time for
Jay's Crappy Promos!
Supported by Crappy Production.
We're going to have to get to the bottom of this one, Matthew. Hey, kids. Who is one of the sport's most talked about persons that you never really hear much from? He crosses over all sports, and when you hear his name, it's usually as the bearer of bad news.
This one's a...
You don't want to hear that your guy went to see this guy.
Oh, it's got to be Dr. James Andrews.
That's right, Dr. James Andrews. And he talks about ways to help prevent injuries with young athletes in an interview done with our own Stefania Bell. Stefania also discusses the topic with Sam Bradford and John Smoltz. Check it out now on ESPN.com. Did Stefania Bell slip you a bribe?
Maybe.
No, I will say this. You know, she was very excited about...
Absolutely.
I tweeted this last
Stefania
night for her.
Stefania does a lot of great work.
I tweeted this for her last night, too, at her request. She's done... You know, I think she was rightfully so very excited that she got the chance to sit down with Dr. James Andrews, who a lot of people don't really talk to that much.
And, you know, not in a situation where we'd come out of that going, oh, listen, Stefania Bell's out 8 to 10 weeks.
Right.
Torn flexor tendon. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly. So I think she was excited about that, and obviously Sam Bradford as well, plus, you know, John Smoltz. So
absolutely.
She's rightfully proud of it.
Absolutely.
Dame out.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
Well, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
I find a little weird I have to ask twice.
Brr.
Matthew. This email, the subject line is, crybabies always get their way. Are you happy, Matt? And he calls you Matt. Are you happy, Matt? You cried and complained enough, and Brennan Donnelly got you a cheap win. You're more pathetic than that weasel Nathan. Love,
nature
the
weasel.
Pittsburgh. P.S. You're lucky the progy race didn't pan out. You don't want to show your face in Pittsburgh for a long time.
All right, first off, as I understand the progy race protocol, I would not have to show my face. I would be one of the progies.
Fair enough.
All right, so first off, nah. Secondly, you're damn right I'm happy. A cheap win is exactly what Brennan Donnelly should give me. Many more cheap wins. I deserve 25-plus saves from Octavio Dotel. I deserve at least 6 cheap wins from Brennan Donnelly. I deserve a lifetime supply of pierogies. Make no mistake, not only am I happy, it's just the beginning. I deserve much more, Pittsburgh.
Zach in Hillsboro, Illinois says, dear War by the Shore winner Nate, and that, I just read the emails, and that guy that played the jewelry appraiser on One Life to Live.
I'm actually correct, I did.
First off, I just want to point out that Pi Vader does in fact deserve his accolades and awards. Look no further than the Oscars, where the award for Best Picture is given to the producer. It's usually the director, isn't it?
No, Best Picture Oscar goes to the producer.
Oh, yeah? I was wondering what your thoughts are on Stephen Drew, Matthew.
Hang on. Before you get to... Okay, so now there's a Stephen Drew query. I want to address this real quick, because Pod brought this up last night at poker, too. He's like, you know, because we were talking about the fact that, you know, he got the award somehow from podcastawards.com.
Right.
And he brought up that fact that, yes, when the Oscar's given to Best Picture, who accepts the award, right? The producer.
Right.
All true. Here's the key. It's who accepts the award. It's not who gets the award. It's who accepts the award. And Pod Vader, we did have you go on the phone call, the conference call at podcastawards.com to accept the award.
There.
We dispatched you to accept the award,
and
which
thus
you should
I'm
have
an
done
award-winning
rightfully
producer.
So. We did that. It doesn't mean you get the award.
No. I plan on sharing it. We should all take it out, have our day with the trophies, take pictures of it wherever we're at.
He's got like a cup on it. We can like pour stuff in and drink out of it.
We should make a cup on it. There isn't currently one on there.
I just don't know how you suddenly decided it was yours and you brought it home as opposed to bringing it to the studio.
All right. Zach wants us to play a name game with Stephen Drew. Stephen Drew or Alex Gonzalez, Matthew?
Drew.
Drew or Marco Scudero?
Drew.
Drew or Jason Bartlett?
Bartlett. Depends on your team needs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're very different players, obviously. Bartlett, if you need speed. Drew, if you need
I'd go Drew across
power.
The board. I'm not sure what the concern is on Drew. I mean, he's hitting 280, 2 homers, 13 runs, 8 RBI. I mean, he's off to just fine start.
Yes, he is.
So, the early panicking there seems odd.
Yes.
He asked, are you going to the trouser sale at FW Dales this weekend? I was not aware that they sold trousers at FW Dales.
Yeah, I think you have that confused. Yeah. They sell lemon meringue pie that's darn tasty. That's pretty much it.
Our old friend Jeff in Canandaigua, New York says, wow, Tuesday podcast was extra short and mostly filled with TMR whining about Pittsburgh. Nice way to show content for your audience. Thank you very much.
First off, by the way, we consistently try to come up with new ways to show contempt for our audience.
Yeah.
I just want you to know.
He says, now can I get a name game with these available pitchers that I and likely others might have to choose from? Brad Penny or Ricky Romero?
Penny.
I agree. Penny or Braden?
Penny.
Penny, I agree. Penny or Wade Davis?
Avoiding the AL East, Brad Penny.
Yeah, you're getting the strikeouts from Davis. I think Penny's going to win 16 games this year, 16 games. Penny or Clay Buchholz?
Buchholz.
I agree. There, in that case, he can't pass up the strikeouts.
Right.
Andrew in Seoul says, hello, Fantasy Liger, Pod, and Nate. A liger is pretty much Matthew's favorite animal. It's like a lion. That's not true. His favorite animal is the monkey.
Correct.
It's like a lion and a tiger mixed, bred for its skills and magic. Since Matthew, circa 1984, has a lot of skills, especially nunchuck skills, I was wondering if he could give me some advice on getting my friend Pedro elected, meeting ladies, or maybe some baseball advice with Nate.
I'll do what I can.
It's all a very nice reference to Matthew's fat dog league from a couple 2 weeks ago.
Dorky 14-year-old Matthew. Yes,
looks
check
like
it out.
Napoleon Dynamite.
I do.
If we're talking baseball, would either of you do the following deals where I give up Tommy Hansen in a dynasty league? The league was drafted this year. I have Roy Halladay and Tim Lincecum as his 1 and 2 starters. So Hansen's his third starter, Matthew.
Okay.
5x5 head-to-head scoring. In this league, he would get Jaime Garcia and Kevin Youkilis for Hansen? Probably not.
Youkilis is interesting. I mean, I think Garcia, who knows? But I mean, I actually believe in Jaime Garcia, but I don't know that
I like Youkilis, but yeah.
I mean,
you know, Youkilis is 31 years old.
Yeah, I don't think I'd do that.
Tommy Hansen, he would give up Tommy Hansen and Jason Hayward for Ryan Braun.
Unleash the crap! My guess is next year, Hayward is a top 15, possibly top 10 outfielder.
Wow. I don't think remotely close to that.
We'll see, but,
I like Hayward, but I don't think so. I mean,
you don't think he's a top 15 outfielder?
No. I don't think he's a top 20 outfielder.
Wow. I hate Hayward.
I think he'll be a starting outfielder in standard leagues, but I don't think he's going to be an elite guy. Let's temper the enthusiasm just a little bit.
You know what you're doing right now?
What's that?
Being the Saint A kid.
I am.
Being Nate the Hate. Being Negative Nate. That's what you're doing right now.
You would not do that.
I would not
deal.
Do that, though. I'm just saying.
I would also not do the deal, but I don't think Hayward's going to be that good.
Right. I think he would be, but I think the difference between Hayward and Braun next year, or even for next year, is not Tommy Hansen.
Nick in Denver, Colorado says only Nate could mess up more than Trevor Hoffman. See, I read all the emails. Says fantasy naked mole rats.
What the? Now people are just getting ridiculous.
I'm in dead last in saves in my 10-team head-to-head league. Well, it doesn't matter if you're last in saves in a head-to-head league. Okay. My closers are Trevor Hoffman, Billy Wagner, and Houston Street, who I grabbed off the waiver wire to stick in my DL slot. Is Trevor Hoffman's bad start concerning enough to drop him in favor of Brad Lidge?
Yes, I think so. In a
Brad Lidge, really? Wow.
In a head-to-head league? Yeah, Brad Lidge has looked very good in the minors so far. I mean, Brad Lidge at his worst.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about Brad Lidge, okay? Brad Lidge, even with his ERA over 7 last year, still saved over 30 games.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Phillies, and if the Phillies didn't get rid of him last year, they ain't getting rid of him.
Yeah.
It's his gig. I mean, so I think he has probably just as much leash as Trevor Hoffman. And Hoffman's looked bad, and at least Lidge will get you a couple of strikeouts, too, more than Hoffman.
And finally, Matthew, an email that is nonsense-related. And Podvader, no Man's League update today.
So you disagree with that. You would stay with Hoffman.
I haven't met
a Man's League update at all this week.
Well, I'm sorry. It's, you know, we'll get to it. No one's clamoring for the Man's League update.
You don't know that.
John.
Hey, here you go. We'll ask the listeners. For those of you not in the Man's League,
yeah,
Would you like Man's League updates or not?
Yeah. We're probably going to do it anyway, but we're not going to feel compelled to do it all the time.
We already get a fit. We've done this before. It's a 50-50 split.
All right. All fair enough. We'll do it. Just not today. There was a lot of baseball news today.
We had to do actual analysis.
And we have this email about Christopher Walken.
There's lots of action in the Man's League, too.
John says, Dear Fantasy Ligers. That's two Ligers.
Wow. We must be Ligers.
Go Golden Gales. University, not high school. Well, thanks for the distinction there.
Yeah, good.
I was left very confused after Matthew remembered Christopher Walken was in Wayne's World 2. Matthew acted as if he remembered some tiny detail about the movie. Walken was one of the main characters. I don't care if he saw the movie only once. If he remembered that Charlton Heston, Kevin Pollak, or Olivia Diabo was in Wayne's World 2, then he can brag. Olivia Diabo was the older hot sister from The Wonder Years. Why were you so proud of that, Matthew?
I'll tell you why. Happy to do this. First off, you have to understand something, that the way Nate and I do this podcast is we just do it in front of microphones, and Nate has a computer in front of him. I actually have a computer, too, but it's fairly slow. I don't use it all that often. So
can I get a wah?
Wah!
Thank you.
Appreciate the fact I got you a computer.
When was Wayne's World 2 even? I mean, you think of Wayne's World, you think of Wayne and Garth, right? You think of Mike Myers and Dana Carvey.
Yeah.
And and Tia Carrere.
But Wayne's World 2 was 1993.
All right. So, I mean, you're 17 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're talking about a movie, so basically the reason I was so impressed with it, it's not like I looked it up on the internet or anything like that. I came up with it off the very top of my head without looking anything up in the instant when I was completely focused on baseball and the podcast and just remembering Cassandra. And it's a weird, by the way, just the fact that Christopher Walken was in the movie, you don't remember that he actually was going to marry Cassandra. I mean, by the way, it wasn't a movie that was a huge hit. It did not do well. It was considered a bomb, considering how big the original Wayne's World was.
Right. And you would know.
Yeah. No, listen, underperforming sequels, I know a lot about that.
There you go.
Anyway, that's why I was all impressed. You thought it was a pretty good pull, right?
Yeah, I thought it was solid. Thought it was solid.
After that podcast, I was all fired up, and I was like, I can't believe I still have that brain cell.
Yeah.
How on earth do I remember that Christopher Walken almost married Tia Carrere in Wayne's World 2. That's an obscure... Of all of Christopher Walken's film, you think it's tops on his resume list there?
It's pretty high. It's got to be pretty high.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Matthew. A good show, I think. I think we serve the listeners on this show. To the extent we're capable of.
Okay, now I'm with you.
All right. you weren't really with me all the way, but you're with me now. All right. That's it. More of your questions tomorrow. Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com. Maybe we'll do the Man's League update tomorrow.
I'd also like to point out that while you made your promise of making this an extra long podcast for the listener, you broke your promise of a fantasy-focused football podcast.
Not yet.
It's going to be broken.
Yes, that's true. It will be broken. We're not.
My only promise
this week.
Was this week.
Right. We just no.
No. No. Yeah. You also promised we'd do two this month because we missed last month.
I never promised that. Both you guys did.
Oh no no. No,
thank you, promise as well.
No, matter of fact, I objected to it. I was like, listen, if we do one the first week of May, what's the difference between the first week of May and the end of April?
Anyway, Nate's schedule is such that we can't we can't do it until tomorrow, until next week. So you'll get a football podcast next week. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned about serving our listeners and everything like that. The great George Bodenheimer, president of our company.
Yeah.
So the great George Bodenheimer has one very simple mission statement for ESPN, and that is to serve fans.
Yep.
And I always feel disappointed. Like, I feel like if George Bodenheimer's mission statement to ESPN was, don't totally annoy our listener, our fans.
Yeah.
Don't totally annoy our fans.
Yeah.
Get our fans to tolerate you. You and I would be among the highest paid people at this company. Because I think no one, doesn't totally annoy people the way you and I do.
This is true.
I don't know that we ever serve anyone, but I feel like you and I,
That'll be good on our resumes when we get fired from this.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Didn't totally annoy people.
Right.
For quite
very
some time.
Tolerable.
Yeah. All right, we're out of here.
Peace out.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.